You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 25th, 2020. And we're getting in the truck and hitting the road.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. All right, fourth wall, check-in time.
Yes.
How are people doing out there? I'll wait.
It's good that you're breaking the fourth wall here. I love it.
Yeah. We had kind of a more chill podcast last week, but our descent into a Death Stranding-esque reality continues unabated, so I hope everyone's doing okay out there.
Indeed.
And not getting too stir-crazy, and also, more importantly, staying healthy.
Yes, indeed. It actually does feel a little weirdly, like, relevant to what we're talking about today, because a good portion of Kentucky Route Zero is just driving through, like, lonely, empty roads, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we're doing today. We're going to do a debrief on Kentucky Route Zero. This game is fascinating just in terms of the development trajectory. I mean, this game, it feels like this game has been around for 10 years, and it's been close, you
yes.
know?
Yes, yep. Yeah, I remember buying the game years ago, being like, I should check this out, and then making the decision, you know what, this first part of the game is a little slow. Maybe I'll just wait until all five episodes are out. Lo and behold, like 6 years later, I finally rebought the game on the Switch when they launched a Kentucky Route Zero TV edition, I think it's called, yep. And played it through there.
And at the same time, they had released the fifth and final act. So it was, for folks like us, it was a good incentive to just jump in and play through the back issues or the back episodes too. So yep. Kentucky Route Zero is nominally an adventure game, but it is largely a text-based visual novel-esque game. So
correct.
It's hard to talk too much about it without just getting straight into the plot. But as always, we'll give people a warning when we go into the plot details. But maybe we just start with the structure, overall impressions of the game, and
sure.
Just kind of what this thing is. And I'm interested to hear what you think about it.
What I describe this game as.
Yeah.
It's certainly a visual novel. I think that's an accurate representation. I mentioned before we started recording that I was going to send you this article, but the reason it stuck in my mind was because this feels to me the closest to a piece of folklore as pretty much any game that I've experienced. And there are game studies folks out there who think about video games as folklore, right? Like like a cultural artifact that is of and about its place in time. And Kentucky Route Zero is structured in these five different acts, each of which are very starkly different, even just where the camera is, basically the basic actions of what you do, and certainly what the story is about. Each of those acts are different and feel as though they are their own almost thought piece about it, right? Like if you were to go to a piece of theater where there were five acts and every act was directed by a different person, right? That's mm-hmm. what this kind of feels like, you know?
Yeah.
Each piece feels wholly independent, but they're all pieces around a theme. And I think
yes.
the way that I interpreted much of this game was around that theme. I mean, so much of that, there's a lot of different themes. I think it's super interesting to think about. A lot of them are about capitalism, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are about how we relate to one another in America today in particular. Not unlike the Death Stranding conversations we've been having right. of late. But it feels very steeped in it wears Americana on its sleeve.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think to ill effect, but yeah. I think as a whole, the entirety of the project I think is pretty damn fascinating. And I think that when all was said and done, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just unlike anything else. And so it's difficult not to want to sort of like fall into that experience and chew on the ideas that they put out there, no matter how slowly they put out those ideas or how little they give you sometimes.
Yeah. And for, I always go back and forth as to how much to actually just factually describe it. But for people like myself, actually, I had never really played a full episode of it even in, up until this point. And so I knew there was some, it was an impressionistic game. There was some magical realism in it, but I didn't really know. So for folks that maybe have orbited around this game but never gone into it, it's more magical realism than even something like Twin Peaks or something. Like, they go further with it. You know, there are, you know, there's a literal giant eagle that carries you around at certain points,
which is one of the more sane things that you do in this game.
Right. Yeah. And so it is a kind of folksy folklore approach to describing a certain culture in the country, there are some pretty fantastical things that happen, and yet it is played in a very calm, like, downplayed way.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a strangely matter of fact game, even when it is being really fantastic. And so, and that extends to the art, and, you know, it's very minimalistic, and, it's interesting in that way. There's not much else like it, tonally.
Yep.
And so I was interested into how far they went with it, 'cause I didn't expect that.
Yeah, they go all the way.
Yeah.
I do think that if you are not on board by the end of Act One, I don't know. I mean, would you? It's hard because I'm trying to think, is this something that I would recommend to most people, mm-hmm. right? And I think that if your patience for this type of artsy narrative game is low, I don't think that it never becomes something that feels like it's a singular cohesive thing, right? Like, there's no payout. Yeah. I don't think there's any moments in Act Five where, oh, it has all come together. And I think that's partly the point. But if that's the type of experience you're looking for, you're not going to find it, you know, like, even some of the characters that come and go, and they never bother explaining who they are or where they went or why they were there in the first place.
I agree. And I guess I don't want to come off as like dismissive, but I am far more interested and respectful of this game than I am a fan of it.
Yeah, sure.
I actually didn't like the game that much, uh-huh. but I am pretty interested in what it was doing and why it was doing it. And this game was one of the harder games for me. I mean, just straight up, this game was a slog. If I knew I wasn't going to have anyone to discuss it with, because intellectually I found it interesting, it's just as a game, I found it very unenjoyable to play.
Sure.
I would have stopped.
Yeah.
And so it's this weird thing where, like, I really do respect it as a work, but I mean even there are some things around the dialogue that I just actively dislike.
Yeah.
So it's this weird thing. It's kind of like this little monument of, it feels really auteurish in a weird way.
Yeah.
And there's not much else like it. And so I would recommend, for, yes, you know, weird or as douchey as this sounds, you know, for students of the medium, I think you kind of have to play this game just
Agreed.
To see it.
Yep.
But I don't hold it against anyone if they're like, hey, this game was kind of terrible, because I kind of feel that way, you know?
I mean, it's like if someone was like, I'm not a big fan of David Lynch, you know? It's
right.
like, okay,
right.
sure, by all means, go to town, you know? That's fine.
Right.
So I think that we should go into spoilers and then just talk all around it, you know? Because
right.
I was like, we could go act by act, but I feel like that's kind of pointless, you know?
Yeah, because especially since some of the acts are pretty disparate from each other.
Yeah.
And also, there's all those interludes that apparently they put out in between episodes, which I actually think is kind of, it might have been a better way to consume it.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So sure.
Okay,
we...
spoilers. So here it is. Like, if you don't want to be spoiled on it, this is the mark, but I think we will get into specific character cool. arcs and so forth.
So, all right. I think one of the things that, When I'm thinking about it being a slog and mm-hmm. that it's kind of like an unrewarding experience, I think part of the problem that I had with the game is that it really wraps itself up into what I kind of see as a sort of, I mean, to be honest, it's a kind of trite Americana, right? Like, there is mm-hmm. a certain aesthetic that we associate with the American past that
right.
revolves around specifically the South. And a lot of this, yeah. you know, this is Kentucky around here, but there's a lot yeah. of aesthetics that we associate with the South. Maybe like, you know, Appalachia. It's a yeah. very working man's
yep.
Southern version of American history. And we've just seen it a lot, right? Like that aesthetic is something that finds a home in a lot of the ways that we understand what America is. We've seen it in a lot of Westerns. We see right. it and hear it country music. We see it in folk songs. We mm-hmm. see it in a lot of just, you know, films that are borrowing heavily from that particular American aesthetic. And I think it does kind of a disservice by focusing too much on that aesthetic, because what you get is something that is this really melancholy, slow, downtrodden, working class story. And mm-hmm. I think the elements to me that are most interesting with that is when it's identifying these through lines between this mythological version of the American past and the working poor's experience with mm-hmm. the working poor's experiences of today. You know, you see it in the act, maybe it's an interlude in the bar where there's an alcohol debt, you know, or
it was funny. That was one of the most tedious, but also I think one of the strongest things.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You know, I think that was that first moment for me where I was like, oh, that's really cool. But you see it in other scenes too, right? Like mm-hmm. the scenes where you're underground as like a skeleton and you're getting a tour of this, this factory, right?
Yeah. The distillery.
Yeah. The distillery. And so it's taking this working class story and putting it in like today's light. And there's a piece of me that thinks we don't really need to borrow from that version of Americana anymore. Like, I think we have enough modern day stories and examples to take from that at some point across all five acts. And maybe it's because I played it too fast, but I got kind of tired of it. Like, I'm less interested in exploring that aesthetic and those themes, because I think it's almost more bold I'm trying to imagine what this would have been like if this were, say, a far sci-fi fiction where you're in a spaceship mm-hmm. and you're traveling from planet to planet or something, right?
Right.
I think that would have been a better aesthetic and still carry through these themes, because then you're really getting closer to the heart of what I think a lot of this game is about, which is, you know, what is the place for the working poor in America today?
Well, and I think it's both a strength and a weakness of the game, in that it is set in this ambiguous, nebulous, both time frame and location, where things simultaneously feel old but also modern at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to nail down, okay, is this a story out of time? Is this something about the kind of post-World War II slump into the 80s? Is this something about today, you know, the kind of post-capitalism stuff? And it kind of tries to have it all, which sometimes means it's trying to take too much. And because it's trying to have it all, there is some particularly interesting, like the that interlude that you talked about, where you're basically playing a character on stage in a play, which I thought was pretty cool and fascinating, even though that scene was super long. That got the closest to me, because there was some intonation about the kind of ethnic and class stuff that's going on versus just the general smear of working poor that the rest of the game is about. It would have been more interesting to talk about, oh, well, my dad or my granddad was a sharecropper and his dad before him was a slave, and now what am I doing at this distillery, you know? But they're not specific enough about that stuff, and so you are left to kind of figure out how much is this actually playing with real American history versus the perception of what American history is kind of homogenized.
Yeah.
And that it's hard to walk that line. And I think a lot of times they err on the side of homogenous versus specific.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the problems with the way that we understand Americana to begin with, right? Like when you think about what is Americana, what is like American folklore, and you overwhelmingly think of the South, you're missing all of these other stories about, you know, the immigrant story, which is interesting because I think they do weave in an immigrant story into the game, right? Like there's a character that has that as their background. And I think those are the touches where you're connecting these ideas that we're really familiar with about the working class to more modern day experiences and settings. But you're right. I think they don't go far enough, and their tendency to focus more on the sort of like homogenous version of it kind of underplays, I think, moments where they could have been much more biting and cutting in their criticism, right?
Yeah.
Instead, it feels like it's kind of like a thought piece, which is fine, and that's totally okay, but it feels like there's a mixed opportunity here because I strongly suspect that the politics of these developers align very much with my politics.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And it feels like you could be even more brazen without having to sacrifice some of the artistic directions you have. But it's a weird case, right? Because why do they do that? Like, I don't think the aesthetic makes this game easier to swallow for players, you know?
Yeah.
So this is kind of a... It's kind of a nasty way of framing it, but I think my only way of understanding why they would double down on that aesthetic so much is because they just don't know any better, you know? Like, because
it's a good way of masking it, you know? Maybe we don't want to get too far into it, so instead we're going to double down on the surreal to have that be the center of attention.
Like, it's an intoxicating aesthetic and era that you're tapping into, right? Like, there's a long sequence where you're on a boat. And I think at one point, like, the power company cuts electricity to a bunch of people. And there's like an old phone switch, right? Where this woman is just, you know, switching lines to make connections. Yep. And you get the sense that like they cut the power to this town. It's basically like any big town that thrives on a single company to provide the workforce, and they pulled out. And there's technological advances, and workers are stuck there doing things for no reason, and they're not really adding any value, and they've kind of been left behind, and there are people that are overworked and doing jobs that they shouldn't be doing, and that's all well and good, but to have it in that setting, I think, misses an opportunity where you could be much more specific and clear in what you're saying about the way that people are exploited by companies and capitalism in a way that is hiding behind that facade of we're a corporate family, you know, like that illusion of being a corporate family and a member of this collective whole is kind of bullshit and really undermines what we actually think of as like communities in America. But it just it feels like we get those ideas in pieces. And in broad strokes.
Yeah. I mean, even in the first act, it's all about the abandoned mine and even the gas station that's kind of on the way to the town. That was the whole economy was based around the mine. And you stay there for a little bit, but you quickly leave and then you get into other things around, you know, the kind of plight of artists in a weird capitalist society. You get into things around addiction and how... the kind of how capitalism perverts medicine.
There's opioid crisis conversations in here.
Maybe we should talk about that in a second, but I actually think that stuff is pretty strong because the metaphor is much clearer. But for the work stuff, I feel like sometimes the game's fantastical aesthetic almost betrays it because it is too distracting and it doesn't let you see clearly enough the message that is being tried that you're trying to convey.
Yep.
You're too quickly going to the next spot, or you're too quickly going to the next stop on the boat ride or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And things like, I mean, and to be fair, I could have missed some of this stuff because I get the sense that the dialogue has some pretty big shifts depending on what you pick in terms of your kind of visual novel choices.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it's kind of like a Chekhov's gun thing where if you're going to tell a story about American workers and exploitation of big companies and you name one of your people Marquez, you need to talk about race.
Yeah.
And you can't just choose a Latino name and not really comment on the Latino experience.
Yep.
In this context, in my opinion, because that's all part of it.
Yeah.
Even if they're suffering under the same company edicts, people of different races suffer differently because of the entrenched structures. Right. Yeah. And so it almost feels like sometimes they're picking these names or picking these images and not fully exploring them. And it can sometimes feel superficial, which was frustrating as I was going through it.
Yeah. And I think the bar scene is that interlude is one of the few moments where race feels like it really does play a major role.
Exactly.
But you're right. It doesn't really get carried through as a through line.
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I do like the idea of much of the game being you deciding in what way do you personally want to think about the content. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
There are times when you decide what someone says, but often it's not like Paragon or Renegade, you know?
Yes.
You're not like punching someone or making a hostile action. Sometimes. Right. The only thing that you're deciding is who speaks in that scene. Like, there might be two characters and you decide which one speaks first, right?
Yep.
And it often does not feel like a futile effort. Like, no matter what you choose, it's just going to have the same result.
Right.
Characters will respond to that other character's comments. And sometimes those comments can shut down the conversation or move away quite entirely. So it does feel like you're directing the flow a little bit more, you know, and you are being able to craft that experience. The interlude scene that is the barfly, where you are in a first-person mode. And by the way, this scene in particular, I think, was available in VR.
Interesting.
Which is interesting, yeah. So basically, you look around the room, and whatever you look at will tell and continue to go through those story beats, so you can change what you're viewing. And ultimately, you have to see all of it, but I think that the idea of exploring in what way can you derive different meaning by allowing players to choose the order in which they consume these like tidbits of story and world building, I think is an interesting one. And for this particular world where it is talking about these themes, it does let you a little bit be a bit more free in how you want to think about them. Because if you want to, you can kind of stew on that, you know? Like, I think, in the end, I think one of the last decisions you make is how your what your character wants to do next. And I forget what the exact options were. There's something like...
It was basically like, do you want to stay in this town or do you want to leave?
Well, yeah. And one of them is leave and start a new life. And one of them, I think, is go back to the factory and see if there's anything to do about your friend who basically became an alcoholic and succumbed to join this, you know, corporate cult or whatever.
Right.
Those feel like very different decisions, and you never see the outcome, right?
Yeah.
But, and I think also you can levy a pretty harsh criticism against this game for not really settling on something. Like, it feels like it ends with a bit of a whimper, like a kind of, it feels very resigned. It feels very like this game was made by a millennial, to be honest, which it probably was.
Fellow millennial, I will confirm.
But yeah, I mean, I like that it gives you that freedom. I'm not quite sure it directs you towards being able to make a decision about where these stories go, and feel as though, I mean, I don't want to say like optimistic, but it feels like it doesn't really have any solutions, right? Because for example, one of the things that I like about it, but is also very sad and melancholy, and over five arcs can be tiring, is this idea that there's a lot of characters and events that have taken place within this world where people tried to make it better, You know,
yeah.
Like there are a lot of allusions to people. Oh, they tried to fight the factory, or, you know, we're trying to just get along and create our own little community here, right? At the very end of the game, the last act takes place in a community that sort of builds themselves up, but is ultimately doomed to fail, right? And yeah. And they all end up going their own separate ways. There is a feeling that it's almost like a futile effort, and yeah. I don't necessarily know if that was the writers and the developers' intent with it, but I think that there's a lot of stories that can and are told about these themes, especially the working class theme, that is about progress and change. And this game feels like it's more interested in exploring the somber side and the mm-hmm. failures than it is at exploring the successes and opportunities.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably on balance true, but I think your point of, I think this game, one of the more subtly impressive parts of this game is your version of Conway, or like one of my favorite characters was Ezra, like the little boy who yes. had lost yep. his parents. Those characters could be radically different depending on what you choose as your dialogue options, yeah. where I kind of decided that Conway was just kind of this, you know, well-meaning but beaten down kind of nobody.
Yeah.
But you could make him more of like a smartass or more of a just like true paragon, you know?
Yeah.
And
he was definitely a smartass as I was playing him. Yeah.
Well, and for me, the smartass was Shannon, the second character,
sure.
Shannon Marquez, I think that you get. And for me, she was the person that was, hey, I see the world for what it is. I'm just going to tell people exactly what I think about them and shoot it straight because I've been through this thing. Like I know what happens when the mine company leaves, and I'm just not going to partake in the bullshit of this world. Mm-hmm. And so, but you could completely do that the opposite, which I think is, it's an impressive amount of writing and tone to offer the player. And I think it's at its strongest when you are committing to that and then just kind of see how that all plays out.
Yeah.
But I also will say that some of the strongest things, I thought what happened to Conway was a really, again, it was the game taking a stance on yep. something.
Yeah.
Where Conway got hurt through no fault of his own. He was prescribed this medicine that he probably should never have been prescribed in the first place.
Yep.
That immediately put him in debt and also essentially crippled him with the cure. And then he became an addict after that.
Yep.
And there was a very clear opinion that the game had on what medicine is like in the United States and what happens to people when they just accidentally get hurt and what that can, the fulcrum of their life is around that injury and what happens after it.
Yep.
And it often doesn't turn out well. And the game was able to do a really unflinching thing of just, this guy spirals down and he doesn't survive.
Yeah. I mean, agreed. And I was honestly kind of shocked when Act 5 started and it wasn't like the rescue attempt, you know?
Right. We're going to help him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that never comes.
No. And so, but I think that's one of the stronger things where they take a very strong stance about an opinion on what it is like in society today and then follow it to its conclusion versus.
Yeah.
You know, this looks very artsy and feels kind of deep, but it's not actually saying that much. Like the very end when they were talking about like burying the horses and stuff. I mean, that was a very beautiful scene, but I did not find much meaning in it.
Yeah.
Even though I thought it was like one of the most like, you know, the ghosts of the people who were kind of around those horses and stuff. I get it. The horses are a metaphor, like fine, but I almost feel like that is a disservice to the actual humans in the story.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a weird thing.
They called them the neighbors.
Right.
Yeah.
It was one of those times where like, oh, okay, this game feels a little like Twin Peaksy. I get it. But also you could have just done this with, you could have made actual neighbors and you could have still made them kind of whimsical and magical, but it could have meant more, you know, it could have been the people that created the town or something like that. And
yeah,
again, who knows? Maybe I'm missing the whole metaphor with like the horses and stuff, but I don't think I am. It seemed like that sort of thing was trying too hard, and that sort of approach happened a lot throughout the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And the horses, There's another line, I think, when they're burying the horses about, like, where they came from, and they tie them to, like, Central America, I want to say. So there's, like, other opportunities, right, where by making them horses, you kind of remove what is potentially an actually really interesting story of who these people are and their relationship to your town. And why you treated them like outsiders. Like, why are they just called the name? Because I think they also talk about why they never give them names.
Right. You know? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, instead you're kind of just left trying to figure it out and scramble for meaning in that circumstance.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm being harsher because, I mean, the scenes are beautiful and there are a lot of moments where, and more often than not, they're one-off moments, right? Someone in passing, not even a main character, will say something that rings really true. Like, they'll say something about, the miners' memorial, right? To the to the people who died in the mine. Or they'll say something about, like, not having seen friends in a very long time. And there's a lot of these moments that are beautiful, and it can be really meaningful, I think, to have that affirmation, right? Like, you feel... Yeah. You play this game and you do feel as though we can see what is some of the rotten late capitalist realities that we live in that sort of undergird what makes America America.
Yeah.
But they are those moments. It is not this patched together whole, you know. It's not actually strung out.
Like I said, it's been a long time since I played a game that was this difficult to play, but also I was kind of fascinated and needed to see how it would all wrap up. I wonder, in retrospect, I wish I had played it as it came out.
Yeah, interesting.
I think this would have been more, I would have been able to stomach it more if I had been following along within the world that it was being released in. Because, I mean, this is clearly a post-recession game.
Yeah.
You know, this is a post-2008 game where all of a sudden a very large swath of America kind of understood the nature of what had happened since the 80s.
Yep.
And it had been laid bare. And ever since then, we've been on this trajectory of, oh, whoops, the social contract has been betrayed in a spectacular fashion. And now we're dealing with this kind of slow motion train wreck. And I kind of wish I had played it along with those events, because it's clearly saying something about that. And it's hard to stomach it all in one go. And maybe it would have even felt fresher from a thematic perspective if I had, you know, if I had a multiple year break between acts, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe that's where a lot of the melancholy comes from, you know? Yeah. We lived through that too, and it was rough, so.
That's true. I mean, and I do, you know, we didn't even live in the South, you know, neither of us had manufacturing jobs, you know? Yeah. So it's even, we're even a step removed, and yet it still feels like, oh man, this is really, you know, this says something, and this is a representation of one of the things that our generation of people went through.
Yep.
I just wish it said more. I wish it didn't shy away from it and kind of obscure it with some of the very cool and beautiful but more topical things. You know, the woolly mammoth is awesome, but I wish I would have gone further into that metaphor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it would have been much improved by just removing it more from the past. I think it's strongest and more interesting when it's closer to the present. And I would be fascinated to see what this would have been like if it had been almost more autobiographical. You know, what if this is much of this story is told from the perspective of, you know, an office worker or, you know, someone who, you know, was working at a car manufacturer in Detroit and it doesn't have to be tied to mining, which of course is still done, still, you know, the opioid crisis and the mining companies in Appalachia, like they are very real in a way that it's difficult to even imagine. But yeah, I think it would have been a more interesting and powerful story if they'd tied it closer to the present.
I mean, now that I'm thinking back on it, I think what we've arrived at and what this game stumbled into was the classic problem of it's impossible to create the great American novel. You know, everyone has yeah. tried and yeah. everyone has failed because there's so much texture and difference and diversity to try to wrap up the story of what is an American story is almost this weird quixotic task that it's almost like the task itself matters more than the output. And, yeah. you know, some people, you know, they throw Great Gatsby out there or any number of articles, but it always misses something.
Yep.
And I think this game is kind of the same way where like this game is taking a run at, I'm going to create the quintessential American story.
The great American indie game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it really is. And like all experiments and all attempts at that, I don't think it fully succeeds, but I'm now thinking back on it in that context, I see it in a different light of, oh, okay, this is just one of the latest in a very long line of storytellers attempting to make sense of this extremely diverse concept.
Yeah.
And you're not always going to be fully successful, but it's the attempt basically that matters, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and that's where like the attempts that I think are closest to the mark that I think would have been a better source to draw from would be something like Don DeLillo, you know,
yeah.
like something like yeah. White Noise that is
right.
about very modern fears right. and set in a modern time. I mean, that book was written a long time ago at this point, but still calls back to these elements that we identify as core to an American way of being, you know?
Right.
Out of curiosity, did Hana watch you play at all? Because she has this history background or theater background. And I'm curious if
she did not okay. see the ones where that would have made an impression, unfortunately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she saw the ones where I discovered like a little note with a phone number on it. And then she looked over and I was on my cell phone and she was like, what are you doing? Playing a video game? And I was like, I'm interacting with art.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny. Yeah. I think at one point there's the interlude where you're just on a hotline.
Yes.
And you're like dialing numbers. And I yeah. think at one point Nicole was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I think I'm just hanging up now. So
yeah, it was funny that number was what I found in an earlier episode.
Oh, really? And okay. Does it
yeah,
work?
It was on. It does. Yeah. And so I called it on my phone and it is that phone tree. And so I had gone through most of that phone tree before I hit that interlude, which was kind of a funny thing.
Oh, that's hilarious. And then when you yeah. got to the phone tree, you were just like, I've seen it. Click.
Well, I tried to click through a few bits of the phone tree to see if there was anything different, but I think it actually is the same phone tree. They just put it in one of the earlier episodes in case you happened upon that, you know, string of text or yeah. whatever.
Weird. So in conclusion, if you're curious, play Kentucky Route Zero.
I you should definitely play it. I don't.
But if you feel like you want to stop, just go ahead and stop.
Yeah. And I would say
try to get through the first act though, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like yeah. I did fall into it more act two forward.
Yes. And it's one of those things where this sounds kind of silly, but I think the game really does require a lot of concentration and stamina yes. to play yeah. because there were certain times where I was just physically too tired to play the game because I couldn't concentrate on the text and I could feel myself nodding off or getting anxious or whatever. And you don't really think about that in terms of like a taxing game to play. You usually think of something that is much more arcadey and frantic, but I feel like this is actually a challenging game to truly get something out of. So
sure.
it's a hard thing. What else was I going to say? Oh, I would also say I wish I didn't know as much of the critical reception to this game because I felt like that raised the bar to a level that was not kind to the game. I mean, there are so many people out there on various websites talking about how this is like the best thing that's ever been created and this is the game of the decade and I get it. Like it has some things to say, but that sort of breathlessness I feel does not serve the game well, and I wish I didn't know its reputation going in.
That I think that's totally fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the great American novel curse as well, right? Like,
yeah. Right.
It's never going to do it justice if you really think it's going to accomplish that. I also, right. I also am really curious because, again, you have a background in American history, and I right. do wonder if there is a certain, like, if you've got a lot of foreknowledge about some of the themes and ideas and, like, right. historical backdrop that this yeah. game is playing with, then you can pick up those allusions quicker, maybe, and sort yeah. of then want to get to the point, you know? Right. Or maybe you're just more familiar with those stories, you know? Like, I wonder if there's a sense, like, I don't know, because there are moments where there's a part of me that likes to hear my own beliefs echoed back to me, and then there's parts right. of me that feels like I'm just being preached at, and yes. I am the choir in this scenario, and I don't want right. to listen anymore. Yeah. And I think at times I felt both ways while playing Kentucky yeah. Route Zero, where I was like, yeah. yes, this is great. Like, I love it. These are real issues and real ideas, and I agree. And, like, you know, emotionally invested in these characters and what they might be going through and finding connections in my own life and the people that I know where that resonates with, right?
Yeah.
But then there are other moments where I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. The opioid crisis is bad.
Yeah. right.
You know?
yeah. It is a difficult thing, but the more I, even in this podcast, I've softened on it a bit when I can think about it in terms of this is a grand attempt at something that many other people have attempted before.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I think there are precious few works of art that have done it. I think something like The Wire actually does it great. I mean, if you're looking for the great American novel, I think The Wire is one of the closest you could possibly
yeah,
get.
Yeah. Not a novel, but yes.
but I mean, you know, if yeah. you're going to, if you're going to expand it to, it's just storytelling in general.
Yeah.
But I think what The Wire does that Kentucky Route Zero doesn't is it does get hyper local and hyper specific, and then is able to broaden the themes to people that are not exactly the same as the characters, but go through the same sorts of tropes and kind of happenings in their life,
yeah.
versus trying to wrap it all in this kind of universal fantasy world, which makes it harder to do.
I think that's a really great point and comparison to emphasize that more small local thing, because this tries to straddle that line, right? Where, oh, yep. this is about a truck driver, but it's not. It's about these, like, bigger, weirder things.
Right.
But there are parts where, I don't know, like, from a film example, there is, like, Dog Day Afternoon. It's, like, about a yes. crazy bank robbery, but it's also about a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Or, like, a, you know, old films like Wanda and stuff that yeah. are about individual characters, but are also about these larger stories.
Yeah.
It spends very little time really plumbing through those individual bits. Like, even Conway, yeah. we get a sense, like, his kid died and he's got some yeah. issues with his wife, but they never really go that far into it. And so
right.
the impetus that of, you know, why he's behaving the way he's behaving doesn't really have a source. And so he becomes this metaphor more than a person.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes yep. that metaphor crumbles when put to the test.
Right. Anyway, like I said, I'm happy that I played it because I knew I would be able to have a conversation with you about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you have that sort of, if you have some sort of outlet, even if it's just pouring through the, like, many, many words of criticism that has been written about this game, I think it's worth doing that more so than just having this game in isolation.
Yep.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. I'm happy that I played it. I have some pretty big questions about it, but I think it's one of those, again, I mean, not surprising. It's one of those things that kind of medium dorks like us will hold up as an important thing to play
yes.
versus, like, this is, you know, fun with a capital F.
For sure. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. I guess that means we'll get back on the zero.
Yeah.
This is also just, like, weird. Like, so brace yourselves, folks. I'm reading House of Leaves for the first time.
Oh, Scott, I'm so pleased to hear that. Have we talked about that before?
No, I just started it, you know, last week or sure. whatever, but even some of the little things, like, you know, the word zero is always kind of in a different font and yep. wavy and
great
stuff
American
like
novel that, right there, Scott.
I mean, honestly, like, I, you know what? Like, I'm only at one or two chapters into House of Leaves, but I can already get the sense that, like, maybe this is yet another attempt.
I mean, you know? The fact that you were going from Kentucky Route Zero to House of Leaves, both of which are like, man, the amount of patience that you are exhibiting right now is extreme.
Well, we'll see. I mean, check back in a couple of weeks when I'm only like a third of the way through and ready to burn that book.
Yep, yep. Sweet.
Anyway, we're getting back on the road ourselves. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address if you want to drop us a line.
And Experience Points is our radio station. Come on down, bring your friends, tune us in, you know? Just turn that little knob, find us, all our old podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find those shows.
We'll be your... we'll be your hat wearing dog companion.
Yes, we're good boys.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao.
Like smoke's arising, and it surely is a train. Surely is a train, boys, surely is a train. Black smoke's a horizon, and it surely is a train. I'm on my long journey home. Lost all my money, but a tune.